Hallelujah. But I would like for you today, tonight, to turn to the book of 1st or 2nd Chronicles chapter 7 verse 12 through 14. I feel a definite agenda from the Holy Ghost. Somebody here is about to end a fight in the name of Jesus. Somebody here, your battle is about to end, and you're going to walk out of this place healed and delivered in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 12 through 14, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. By the way, let me just interject. I never knew what seeking the face of God was until God began to deal with me on, amen, a biblical understanding. To seek the face of God to me means to be in tune with God so much, amen, where you're looking at what he's looking at. Where you're desiring to cast your gaze where his gaze is. Can we say amen? Amen. The Bible says amen and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 through 18. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some of you need to understand that what you're going through is not natural, but supernatural. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Somebody say amen. I know you're standing for a lengthy period of time, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, and then we can launch. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the word of God. God, in the next few moments, Lord Jesus, you are going to bring deliverance, amen, and assistance that can only come from heaven. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would anoint my mind. Let no word come out of my mouth that is not framed by the Holy Ghost. God, amen. I ask, Lord, that the gift of faith would be released in the house of the Lord. God, that you would work miracles in the house of the Lord. Lord God, as your word goes out, Lord Jesus, may it find the fertile ground of our hearts. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And the church says in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Today, amen, I've come to you with a message from the Lord that God woke me up, amen, with, amen, and I pondered on throughout the night, and that is this. There are times in our lives where we are dealing with things that, as I would say simply, are above our carnal pay grade. We've got to realize and understand in the name of Jesus, amen, that it is the will of God that when you, amen, come to the place where, amen, you don't know what to do, that you can look to heaven and you can lean on the Lord and say, Jesus, while my faith is ever present in me, Lord Jesus, for a moment I'm struggling with my reality and I need a little help from heaven. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen in the house of the Lord. Amen. The Lord appeared to Solomon as Solomon stood on the platform and dedicated the house of the Lord unto God. Amen. And the Lord said, amen, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. We know it rains on the just and the unjust. And so the question of why, amen, should not be what purses our lips. Amen. Amen. But we've got to understand and know, amen, that there are some things that are just natural to man. Life is going to happen. Amen. But life for the unbeliever that happens, amen, is, amen, not a comfort unto them like it is to you and I, because we have an ever-present help in a time of need whose name is Jesus. Amen. We were talking about Prophet Eli Hernandez before service. Amen. And I've asked the question not in the negative context unto God, but why? Amen. So that I could understand. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, there are times where life just happens. Sickness just happens. Perplexing situations just happen. But I've come to give someone hope tonight at Atlanta West, so that you would understand you are not alone in this fight of your life. God wants to deliver you. He wants to send a little help from heaven. Somebody say amen. Bible says, amen, if we, my people which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And I thought, God, why in the world does it say hear from heaven here? And what that literally means is God is saying, I will proclaim and decry from heaven my will over you. That's what it means when God says, I'll hear from heaven, forgive your sin and heal your land. What he is saying is, from heaven, I'll hear your prayer and I'll make a proclamation of deliverance. I'll make a proclamation of unprecedented in it, revival in Atlanta. Somebody say amen. And so, amen, the word of God says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Hallelujah. You've got to know and understand tonight, amen, that there are some situations in life that can be chalked up to natural things. People get sick. People get a cold. Amen. Life just happens. But what do you do when you're living for God and you will begin to understand that there's a little bit extra life happening unto you? There's something more to this that I am going through, and I've come to tell you, I propose to you in the name of Jesus, that what some of you are battling is a supernatural, amen, agenda from hell and the devil that is, amen, working against you. amen, to cause you to become wore out to the place where you say, well, I can't go to the house of the Lord anymore. I'm just going to give up on God. I just want to encourage somebody in the house of the Lord. Hold on just a little while longer. Your help is almost here. Amen, amen, amen. What are you saying, Brother Corbin? What I'm telling you in the name of Jesus is there are times, amen, you've been there, I've been there, where I've had to say, God, this is above my pay grade. I can't, amen, figure this out. I don't have enough intellect, amen, to get out of this. Amen, I don't know what to do in this situation. That's when you throw your hands up, but not in despair, but you throw your hands up in faith, saying, God, right now I need a little help from heaven, and I believe that you're going to give that help in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. When God led us to Bangladesh, I remember starting in the apartment in our capital, in the capital city. Amen. Thinking, God, this is overwhelming. How in the world are we, five or six of us, going to see a nation of now 177 million people saved? Amen. What I realize is, amen, I wasn't going to be able to save them on my own. Amen. What I realize, amen, is you need help from heaven. Amen. There are times, amen, amen, where the hounds of hell's, hallelujah, barking and amen, amen, pushing against you are louder than sometimes what seemingly is in you. But I've come to tell you in the name of Jesus, one more time, hold on, because help from heaven is on the way. That first congregation in Dhaka, Bangladesh, was a proverbial revolving door. Amen. We went through five distinct congregations to the point where we have, amen, what you see today. Amen. When I say we, I mean the church. Amen. People came. Amen. They came to see what kind of flavor of fish and loaves do you have. Come on now, let's be real. Amen. But in the middle of all of them came some barren wives to the house of the Lord. And the Lord, they would come and they would say, pray for us, preacher. Amen. The doctors say it's impossible for us to have children. It's in that moment, amen, where we begin to look for the help from heaven. Amen. I begin to say things like this: go home. God is going to open your womb and give you a child. I'm going to just tell you right now, there are most of those times that I did not feel the earth shimmy and shake on my faith proclamations. And by the way, can I just preach just for a moment here and tell you, you got to learn to stop living by how you feel, because the emotional roller coaster of your life is wearing your sandals off of your feet, and you wonder why you're struggling to stand. Amen. We don't base our living for God and what God can do on our emotions. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Hallelujah. In other words, I can't trust always what I feel because of my circumstance. I've got to lean on the faith of the Lord and ask for the help of heaven at times, even when I feel that I'm all alone. Somebody say amen. Amen. They would come. We'd pray. They'd go home. We became the stork church for some reason. You got to be an old timer to know what I'm talking about. These youngsters don't know what that is. Amen. We were taught that babies were delivered by stork birds. Amen. Amen. It was a little different back then. Can we say amen? Amen, amen. We became the Stark Church, the baby church. Amen. Babies begin to be born all over the place. Amen. Miracles begin to take place. We begin to realize, God, there's nothing too hard for you. Let me just tell you, when you lay hands on a dead, cold body, amen, that is laying there lifeless, and speak the name of Jesus over that body, there's nothing cute that you're going to be able to say. You don't got a good word for a mama that's in grief. There's nothing in yourself, in your flesh, that will suffice a grieving mom whose husband or neighbor is holding that dead baby in their hand. They need help from heaven instead of a few cute words. Somebody say amen. I remember we laid hands on that dead baby's body, spoke the name of Jesus over that child's body, amen, and all of a sudden, life, amen, began to return to that body. That body is 33 and a half years old today, hallelujah, alive and well. Let me tell you, amen, amen, sometimes you can't cute words your way out of a situation. Sometimes you can't even faith talk. Sometimes, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not talking about faith in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about when someone comes and says, how you doing? And you say, blessed and highly favored. Amen. That can only go so far. And sometimes it fades when you're looking in the mirror and your face is distorted because of a stroke that took place. Amen. That's when you need to lean on the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower, and say, God, I can't get through this on my own. I need a little help from heaven. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Little boy, amen. If I've shared this at Atlanta West, just act like you never heard it. Little boy walked into the church. He was the most obnoxious little boy outside of James Nathaniel Corbin himself. He was loud. He was wild. He was wild. He had to be wilder than a buck. Amen. Amen. He was obnoxious. It was the most roller coaster wild church service we ever had because of one participant. Amen. Who was a little 2-year-old boy. I remember Brother John's leaning on the platform after service. Nobody said a word to him or his mama, but oh, it was a wild ride. I remember saying, God, if she only knew this was the house of God, amen, she would control that baby in the house of the Lord. The Lord gave me a Holy Ghost slap, and he said, shut your mouth and get your hands off of him. Oh, you got a soft, caressing Jesus. You might want to do a double look, because he might not be Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Somebody say amen or oh me. Amen. What the Lord was telling me, and I didn't know this, but I was about to know. What he was telling me was, you don't know the story of this baby boy. And so until you know it, you might want to reserve your mental comments unto me. Amen. And when I lifted up my eye after asking God to forgive me, his mama was in the front with her head down, shaking it back side to side. And she said, Pastor, I want to apologize to you for the behavior of my little boy. But this is the rest of his story. He was born deaf and dumb, and we have spent everything that we've had, amen, so that someday he would be able to hear and he would be able to speak. We've done everything. We've tried everything. There's no more hope for him. What she was saying was, amen, and what I'm interpreting today is, we've tried everything else, and everything else has failed. We're here to try Jesus. Amen. And so I looked at her and I said, Mama, you bring that baby to the house of the Lord. We don't care how he acts in God's house. He's always welcome. We could always buy new carpet, folks. Come on, somebody say amen. You could always buy new carpet. You could put new paint on the walls. But you better understand the value of a soul. because they're worth more than all of this. And I believe in excellency in the house of the Lord. And I believe that we should act appropriately. And I believe in all of that. Amen. But if it means at the expense of a little boy continuing to grow up deaf and dumb without a miracle. Oh, I'm checked out of that hotel a long time ago. Amen. I'll take the miracle over how good everything looks. Somebody say amen. He came for one solid year. It'll be all right if I testify in the house of the Lord. He came for one solid year. He would come to the house of the Lord. He couldn't hear and he couldn't speak, but he could feel the Holy Ghost sure enough. Amen. And he would watch the preacher. Amen. Myself and others. And there were many of Sundays that he would come around. And when the service crescendo was, amen, lessening, and I would sit down on the front row, amen, that little baby would come, amen, he'd stand in front of me, he'd lift one hand toward my head, I would lower my head, he'd put that hand on me, and he would begin to pray, amen. You may lay your hands on me, and it'd be eloquent and full of blessings, but you ain't got nothing on a three-year-old that's been coming to the house of the Lord deaf and dumb for one year. It was a Sunday night. Amen. And the service was waning to a close. 1 year of coming to the house of God, he became the church mascot. He was everybody's favorite. But amen, that night he would be more God's favorite than ours, because the Lord said, tell his mama to bring him to the front. I'm going to open his ears and I'm going to loose his tongue. Amen. I told mama, bring him to the front. Amen. She brought him to the front. Now, what I'm about to tell you, this is not a one size fits all, amen, process. Everybody say amen or nod your head. Because if you go out doing this in Atlanta West, what God told me to do, you could get in trouble. Amen, amen. So the Lord said, stick your fingers in his ears, because I'm going to open his ears in the name of Jesus. Amen. I stuck my fingers in his ears. We gathered around and began to pray in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, his eyes got big as God popped his ears open and loosed his tongue. Amen. That baby walked out of the house of the Lord as a three-year-old for 3 years. Ears, never hearing a sound and not able to speak, but in a moment with Jesus, in a moment when the kingdom of God comes, in a moment when help from heaven arrives, he walked out healed, speaking and hearing in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Oh, just a few more moments. Just a few more minutes. Sometimes you're not going to get it done with an allopathic medicine response. And I'm not against medicine, not against medical science. I believe in it not as much as I believe in Jesus. Can we say amen? Amen. But I'm not against it. Amen. But can I tell you what your doctor cannot do, and what you're putting in your mouth two times a day cannot do, Jesus can do in a moment. When we come to this altar in just a few moments and we begin to lift our hands, our prayer and mantra must be, God, I've tried it all, Lord Jesus, and I'm none the better. But Jesus, I need a little help from heaven tonight. I need the help of the Lord as you heal me and deliver me. I need you, Lord Jesus, to step down into my situation. Can we say amen? Amen, amen. Some people ask us, Brother Corbin, what is the secret to revival in Bangladesh? Let me just tell you, there are no shortcuts. If you're looking for a quick answer to revival, kind of like just turn the key of the car and it starts, good luck, you're in the wrong place. Amen. The reality is this, it takes sacrifice. Come on, somebody. Don't go silent on the preacher. Amen. The what our forefathers did still works today. Can we say amen? Amen, amen. Some say, well, why do you see miracles like that overseas? And we could talk all night and we won't. Amen, about miracles, signs, and wonders. People literally in the hundreds in crusades. And by the way, we are not a crusade-only church. Amen. We are a soul-winning church that believes in the power of God anywhere and everywhere. People have got the Holy Ghost in hotel restaurants, laying on the floor after God knocked them backwards. Amen. Speaking in other tongues. They get the Holy Ghost in the restaurant. They get the Holy Ghost in the car. Somebody say amen. They get the Holy Ghost right here in America. So, oh, come on, in the same way. You just got to be able or be willing to make the sacrifice to us. And I'm mindful of the time. To us, amen, revival is a choice. The move of God's Spirit is a choice. And it becomes a lifestyle. We have seen literally, and I'm going to ask you to stand. Amen. We have seen literally hundreds upon hundreds in crusades and in revivals miraculously healed, blinded eyes open. It blows my mind, Brother Johns. I'm in awe of the glory of God. I not just the glory of God. I'm not in love with God's power. I'm not in love with God's glory. I am in love with Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. And when you get him, you get everything. Can we say amen? But it was a crusade, amen. We would ask many of times, how many of you were healed of blinded eyes? And Brother John's, hundreds of hands, amen. That last crusade service, amen, in Khulna, Bangladesh, there were well over 12,000 there. Amen. Why? They had heard about a miracle working God whose name is Jesus. But the first night, 500 received the Holy Ghost. It was amazing. God moved. The second night, 3,500 received the Holy Ghost. People got on the bus, Brother John's, and they were celebrating. They were screaming and shouting and speaking in tongues, and so was I. But as their crescendo of praise and amazement began to wane, amen, on the left side of the bus, a 200 and none of your business pound individual began to raise his voice. You can figure out who that is. And I said to them, but God has promised that he would fill 10,000 with the Holy Ghost on that crusade ground. I think they looked at me with a little indignant stare, thinking in their minds without saying out of their mouths, come on, Corbin. We just saw the day of Pentecost. And it seems that you're minimizing. No, I wasn't minimizing, but I was refusing to stop short of what God promised. And some of you are at the threshold of your miracle, and you're stopping short of God's promise. But tonight, we're going to get a little help from heaven. That last night, I want you to just, and I'm going there quickly. That last night was amazing, but just hold on that last night. Amen, but the first night of the crusade, a man that was a police officer, a very high rank, was sitting beside us to guard us and take care of us. And while worship was going on and miracles were taking place all throughout the congregation, my wife glances over to him and he has his cell phone out and he is FaceTiming his wife with tears flowing down his face. He's telling her, look, look where I am. I'm feeling something that I never felt before. My wife went to him. We found out the rest of his story. They had a 3-year-old or 4-year-old son. They were on a motorbike together. They were in an accident and he was tragically killed. She and him, she was trying to get pregnant again and have another baby, and miscarriage after miscarriage would take place. And there she is, amen, through FaceTime, feeling something that she never felt before. So Sister Corbin said, get her here to this crusade. And that last night she was among the congregation. And when you would pull up into that congregation, you could feel faith pulsating from that place. I remember standing on the platform saying, as you have already established it in heaven, be it so established here on earth now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The glory of the Lord swept that place. God filled over 6,500, I think it was more like 7,000, with the gift of the Holy Ghost, bringing it to a total of 11,000 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost.